Good morning, everyone. Good morning. So thankful to be here. So thankful for the opportunities we have to be with one another. You know, COVID has certainly brought up many topics that Christians need to look at again and need to consider again and really make sure that we have a solid foundation and really think of what does the Bible have to say on this particular issue or this particular thing. And certainly COVID has really come like a wave and has really made Christians, I think, evaluate many things that perhaps we haven't had to evaluate for a long time. Have to think about, really, where is the line where I should be civilly disobedient? Where is the line where I should do this? Where is the line I should do this? Where is the line that I should do this? And certainly when it comes to church, there's also lines that need to be considered. You know, the topic may appear strange, but I think that COVID has led us into a situation where we have to think and we have to exercise our senses in all topics. And we need to exercise our senses so we can discern between good and evil. And one of those things, certainly, I think, is online church. Well, how did I come up with the title? Well, when you start to think, what is the church? The church is not the building. The church is the people. The group of the saved were added to the church. We see in Acts chapter 2, those people that gladly received the word were baptized. They were added to the church. They were added to this group of the saved. So the church is the people. In Ephesians chapter 5, we have a comparison that is made. A comparison that I'd like to carry into today's lesson. The comparison in Ephesians chapter 5, it's a comparison between husbands and wives and Christ and the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, it's really a beautiful passage to read, particularly for those that are about to enter marriage, end marriage, or continuing their marriage. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church, and gave himself for that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." The comparison that is being made is the husband and wife is very similar to Christ and the church. And the comparison is being made, and we see some of those comparisons, that Christ died for the church. A husband should be willing to die for his wife. And interesting, through this COVID situation, there has been a rise, which there is already starting to be a rise in the United States, of this magical thing called online church. And that's where we get our title. Because online church, I'm going to go with the comparison over here, is that the church is saying, you know what, the church is an awful lot like the bride of Christ. And if you're going to say to me, online church, you know, this is one of the first things that pops into my head, a comparison. Online church, online bride. You know, you think of that, there are components of online that are very powerful. And some things that are online that I think that God would be pleased with, that he'd be happy with, that are okay. But I can tell you, during this time, online is going to be pushed more than it's ever been pushed before, and perhaps it's going to be pushed to a point that God would not want it to go. Pushed to a point where God would not be satisfied, God would not be pleased with his bride. He would not be pleased with the church because of the way they are doing things. We have to be very, very careful. We're living in an interesting time where Christians have to sit down, really open our Bibles and consider things. We have to consider things on where is the line between obeying the government and obeying God? Where are those lines? There's a lot of things to be considered. And certainly when it comes to church, we don't want to disobey God. We want to be the assembly of God's people. We want to do things that God would want us to do in a way that God would want us to do them. But we also have to be careful because we have this other side here where we want to be obedient to our government. But we can't be obedient to the government to the point that we disobey God. It's a very careful line that we're trying to walk. And our elders are doing the very best they can. And elders across the United States and across the world are doing the best they can to make sure that we're not crossing any lines. But that's where we get the title. When I hear online church, I hear online bride. Because that's a comparison that we have in the Bible. And that's the comparison that we're going to be making today. Certainly the church can have aspects online. Harvey records our lessons and puts them online. I'd say Sandyville has an online presence. And I think churches can have an online presence. But thinking of the church online, you're thinking of a group of people, and you're going to take that whole group of people and you're going to slap them online. Is that what God wants? Is that what God's after? Certainly during these times, these are things that we should consider and think about. But the argument of this morning's lesson is really that I think an online bride, 100% online bride, would not be ideal. And I would also argue that 100% online church, a group of the Lord's people, would not be ideal either. Let's start to get into this comparison. The first thing that came to my mind when I started making this comparison is the intimate relationship. Let's think for a moment that I just married my spouse, and my spouse says, "Hey, I'm glad I married you, but now I'm going 100% online." Think about all the things that I would lose. I would lose that intimate physical connection. Yes, we're talking about that intimate physical connection between husband and wife, but also, if my wife decided to go 100% online, I would start to lose out on getting to know her. I mean, we start living with one another, you know, we start sleeping together, we start eating together every day, we're there 24-7. There's a lot of things that I am going to learn about my spouse. But if my spouse says on marriage day, "Hey, we're getting married, I'm going 100% online," I lose out on that intimate relationship physically. And that relationship of getting to know that individual on a very deep level. You know, if you had a 100% online spouse, I think that would happen, is that your relationship would suffer. Now, some people try this for a period of time, but I suggest to you that as it goes on and on, it strains the relationship. If we had an online bride or an online spouse that was 100% online, I think you could see how the relationship would be strained. I think the same thing could be said about the church. If the church went 100% online and said, "Hey, everybody, we're just going to do it 100% online from now on," wouldn't our relationship be strained? Wouldn't we miss out on getting to know each other in a more intimate way? And you know, you start to think about it, you start going there, and you start to realize there would be a lot of implications. You know, Paul, I think Paul loved the relationships he had with his brothers and sisters in Christ. We can see it in his writings over and over again. Paul talks about his love of his brothers and sisters in Christ. His great desire to see his brothers and sisters in Christ. And you ask the question, why? Why did Paul desire so deeply to see his brothers and sisters in Christ? Because he had an intimate relationship with them. They shared so much in common. They shared tears. They shared heartache. They shared trials, tribulations, adversity. They shared so much together that Paul so desperately wanted to see his brothers and sisters in Christ whenever he could. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 17, Paul says, "But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, but not in heart, endeavor more eagerly to see your face with great desire." Paul wanted to see his brothers and sisters in Christ. It was not enough just to write a letter. He wanted to see them. He wanted to be there with them. And he was there with many of those brethren for a period of time. They had went through adversity. They had went through trials. They had went through these things. And because of that, they had grown closer. Paul knew these individuals. He loved these individuals. And as he was separate, the relationship was strained. A little piece of Paul suffered when they were apart. In fact, when you start reading all of Paul's writings, that comes up over and over again. Paul had a great desire to be with his brothers and sisters in Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4, he says, "Greatly desiring to see you." And really, I could just go on and on. And in Romans chapter 15, verse 23, he says something very similar. Having a great desire these many years to come to you. Paul wants to see his brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, Paul is in a unique circumstance where he's a traveling preacher. He'll go and he'll preach here for a while, and then he'll go and preach here for a while. And he misses those relationships he has at the different places in which he travels. But when you turn to Romans chapter 16, which many times Romans chapter 16, we just look at Romans chapter 16, verse 16. You know, "Salute you one another with the holy kiss, the churches of Christ salute you." But if you start at the beginning of Romans chapter 16 and you start to read that, on the way to verse 16, do you know how many names Paul mentions of brothers and sisters in Christ? If you turn over to Romans chapter 16 and you start looking at that chapter, Paul starts and he is writing and he's mentioning name after name after name after name. Paul intimately knew the Christians at these congregations. He knew them by name. In fact, when you read down through Romans chapter 13, sometimes he gives you a little nugget about each person. Not every person. Just knowing them by name, I think, shows you that he has an intimate relationship with them. But some of these people, he'll talk about how they helped him. How they did this. How they did this. He knows these people. He knows their names. He knows what they do. He knows the ways that they live their life. He knows these people intimately. And you know what? If you were 100% online, that relationship would be strange. That relationship would be hurt. No doubt about that. You know, I think that we were designed to be around one another. I think that Jesus really points us that direction. We really need one another. You think of Adam in the garden. Adam in the garden was alone, and what did he need? He needed a partner. We need connection. We need relationship. And what I say is if the bride goes online, if the church goes online 100%, it would put strain on the relationship. Just like if we would think of a marriage. If tomorrow your spouse said, hey, I'm going 100% online. You're on your own. You know, I might FaceTime you from time to time. I might give you a phone call. Wouldn't that relationship be strained? And sometimes people have to do that. And you know what those people say? I would almost give up anything to be with my spouse face to face. I just want them to come back. You know, they're overseas or they're on a business trip. They're somewhere. I want them back. I want them to be with me. That intimate connection where we know one another, where we love one another, where we care for one another, where we know each other by name, where we comfort one another. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 and 6, it says, for indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Why was Paul comforted by the coming of Titus? Titus was a friend. Titus was a brother in Christ. Titus was somebody that he knew. You know, it's hard for a stranger to comfort you. I'm not saying that it's not possible, but I'm just saying if you had to choose someone to comfort you, to be there for you, I think you would choose somebody that knows your name, that knows you intimately, that knows your faults, knows your strengths and weaknesses, knows those type of things. You know, you start to think about that, how important relationships are, how important relationships were to Paul. You can see it in all his writings. He had a great desire to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. He loved his brothers and sisters in Christ. And when he was away, it was like a part of Paul wasn't there. Can we say the same for ourselves? You know, I relate to Paul a lot because, you know, in my younger years, I was traveling. I would travel to different congregations, but I would travel and I would go back to a similar congregation over and over again. And during that time, with those individuals there, brothers and sisters in Christ, I would develop relationships. Meaningful, deep relationships with those individuals. I knew their names. I knew their strengths. I knew their weaknesses. They knew me. They knew my strengths. They knew my weaknesses. In fact, when I first came here to Sandyville to take the youth position, some of the congregations, well, one congregation in particular, I had been there, I think, for 4 years. And I cried the day I left. I cried. I stood right up in front and I cried. Why? Because there's meaningful and deep relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ. And you start thinking about what are societies trying to do. Sometimes they're trying to take church and they're saying, oh, we can put it 100% online and there'll be no problem. There'll be no issues. There'll be no setbacks. It'll be okay. Really, would you take a bride 100% online? You know it's not ideal, but yet, that somehow it's become ideal. You can do all this face-to-face, but church, let's do it online. Why? Church is one of the most important things. Certainly we want to obey the government. Certainly we want to follow as much as we can and be obedient as best we can. But we do have to understand that there are some lines that we must consider and consider deeply. I always say to my students out at the college, of course, you know, they're going to be teachers, I say, my challenge to you is give your all and don't get emotionally attached. Well, that's an impossible challenge. If you give your all to anything, you're going to get emotionally attached. If you give all to your students, you're going to get emotionally attached to your students. If you give all to your spouse, you're going to get emotionally attached to your spouse. If you give all to your church family, you will get emotionally attached to your church family. And I think being online really hurts that process. How well do you have to know your brothers and sisters in Christ to point out their weaknesses? In James chapter 5 and verse 19, it says, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back," how well do you have to know your brother and sister in Christ to turn him back? How well do you have to know your brother and sister in Christ to acknowledge a weakness or see that they need help or assistance? You have to know your brothers and sisters in Christ in order to extend a helpful hand. But somehow our society is slowly working on the minds of Christians. And they're slowly trying to convert the mind of a Christian to try to say, you know what? A letter is just as good as being face-to-face. A phone call is just as good as being face-to-face. A Zoom is just as good as being face-to-face. Now, I understand there are occurrences and there are situations for certain types of things. But these are questions we need to consider deeply. Is God satisfied with an online bride? Would you be satisfied with an online bride? You know, if you really think that a phone call, a letter, or a Zoom is the same as being face-to-face, let me use the example of my daughter. I'll go out and I'll work for a few hours. It doesn't take too long. Sometimes I'll call home and my wife will give the phone to my daughter and my daughter will talk to me and she'll be excited, of course. You know, she loves her dad. And then, or sometimes I FaceTime. Right? I FaceTime my daughter and I say hi. But you know what? When I walk through the door, that is the peak of her excitement. She jumps off the couch or she runs to me from wherever she's at in the house. She has her arms open and she embraces me. There is something special and intimate about being face to face. And Paul understood that. And yet our society slowly starts to morph and say, oh, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Now we understand people are put in situations. You know, a father overseas, you know, fighting for our freedom. Certainly the best he can do at the time is perhaps FaceTime his child. But have you ever saw those videos or have you ever been there present when one of those troops comes overseas and they surprise their child in a gymnasium or something like that? That's special. It's intimate. There is something special about face-to-face. An online marriage, I'd say, would be very similar to online church. You would lose the intimacy. You would lose the relationship. The relationship would truly suffer. And I think that's why in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, we see that we're not to forsake the assembly. Now, forsake is an interesting word. If I go on a business trip, am I forsaking my wife? Certainly my wife wants me home. She wants me to be there, but do I have a reason perhaps to be away from home for a short period of time? Someone serving overseas, wouldn't they have a reason to be away from their family? Are they forsaking their wife because they go overseas? No, we understand that. That forsake is a strong word that we have to consider. But we are not to forsake the assembly. And really, that's an attitude thing. Is our attitude to be, if I'm away from the assembly of the saints, what should our attitude be? My goal, my desire, my intention is to get back. That's my intention. That's my desire. That's my hope. That's what I want more than anything. And certainly we live in a time where these things have to be considered, where we have to weigh options and we have to consider. But when we start to look at this, there's so many things that we have to do for one another in a relationship standpoint. And what I can tell you is you can't live stream intimate relationships. I really don't. I mean, you think about a husband and wife in that physical relationship. You can't live stream that. You can't live stream seeing the ups and downs of someone's day and trying to be there to support them. You can't live stream intimate, deep relationships. You know, in 2 John verse 12, there's something written there. It says, in 2 John verse 12, it says, "Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink. I could write to you," and that's how it's starting. "I could write a letter to you. Having many things to write to you, I do not wish to do so with ink and paper, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full." There's something special about being with brothers and sisters in Christ face to face. But when we're making this comparison, you think about online marriage versus online church. There is one thing that I think that we should be able to admit, is that relationships suffer. An online marriage, that relationship would suffer. An online church, the relationship would suffer. There's something else that I think we have to consider. So we're moving past relationship. We're moving to something else. Think about help and assistance. Or maybe you'd like to call it service. I just got this bride, we just got married, and now she says, I'm going to go 100% online. Well, one, we don't have that physical relationship. We don't have that intimate relationship. Waking up, having breakfast, all those types of things, living life together. But now, number two, is I'm not going to be able to assist and help her the way that I should. And she's not going to be able to assist and help me the way that she should as well. Think about it. If I'm online, 100% online, can I wash the dishes? Can I take out the trash? Can I do those things that are important? Can I take my son when he's crying at 2 in the morning? If I'm 100% online, it makes it hard. If the church goes 100% online, something else that's going to suffer is not only relationships, but our assistance and our help to one another. There's certain things you can't do for one another online. There's a certain thing. Service, our help, our assistance to one another truly would suffer. A lot of help and assistance cannot be done online. And people are like, well, we can send in money. Is that really what Christianity is all about? Just write your check, send it in, your Christianity is over. No, it's intimate, it's connected, extending the helpful hand. The person knows you're the one extending the helpful hand. Not just a check. I think that service, help would definitely suffer. I think in many ways, online church is a manifestation of checklist Christianity. Is if I go to church and I give and I do this, then my Christianity is taken care of. I'm good. And I think that's a manifestation of that mentality of online church. As long as I log into that online church and I want some of it, is that really what Christianity is? Just going to services? If I send in my money, check. Oh, okay, I'm good. My Christianity is done. Is that really what Christianity is? Or is it deeper? Do we understand the deepness of Christianity? That certainly it goes far beyond any online platform ever could. The help, the assistance, the relationship, getting to know and serve one another, understand each other's strengths and weaknesses, extending the helpful hand. There are certain things that just simply cannot be done online. You even think about singing. The singing is a hot topic right now. But Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, it tells us to admonish one another in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. Admonishing one another. Think about it. You've got your online service, which I'm trying to talk about online church, but underneath online church is online worship. I'm not really talking about online worship right now. I feel like that's its own topic to itself. But we have online church, and underneath the online church, we have online worship, which I think is its own topic. But you think about it. If you're watching a service, you realize you're missing out on something? Singing to one another. Certainly, you can get encouragement from that recording or those people singing live, but you know what they're missing out on? They're missing out on your voice. They can't hear your voice. They can't hear your voice on the couch. We understand that people fall into situations where they cannot attend services. They're sick, they're hurt, they don't have to. We understand those situations. But there are some people right now during this time that are deliberately making a choice that their voice won't be heard with the brothers and sisters in Christ assembled. You have to think about these things. You have to consider these things. Is that online there would be things missing out. You have an obligation to sing to me. I have an obligation to sing to you. And I apologize sometimes. You know. But we have that obligation to sing to one another. And that is kind of missed. You know, extending a helpful hand in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, therefore, if you have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. Are you going to have more opportunities or less opportunities if the church goes online to help your brothers and sisters in Christ? I would suggest less. You know, you think about help and assistance. I mean, really, you really think help and assistance can go online? My mother-in-law, she worries about my wife and I. And one of her worrying things, which, you know, it's not a bad thing by any means, but if we're driving and she calls us and we answer the phone, she asks who's driving. And she immediately asks the phone to go to the other person, which is fine. But she almost will, if we're driving, she'll say, nope, it's not worth it. You guys hang up. I'll talk to you later. Tell me when you're going to get home. She won't even talk to us hardly if we're driving, which is fine. And one of the reasons for doing that is she doesn't want to hear this. She doesn't want to hear that. Why? Because she would be in a helpless situation. She would not be able to help. She wouldn't be able to do anything. She would hear the accident. She would hear the wreck. But she wouldn't be able to do anything. Why? Because she couldn't, you know, all my... I mean, if you were actually there, I mean, you can try to do something. You know, you try to grab, protect. You know, I mean, you can try to do something. I mean, in a situation like that, you're kind of helpless in many respects. But think about it. On the phone, is there anything she can do for us before an accident? Not a whole lot. But yet people are saying, oh yeah, online church, great, fantastic. You're going to be able to help all kinds of people and assist people. Really? You think so? You're just going to be like the phone call in a car accident. You're like, well, I kind of think I know what's going on, but I'm not going to be able to help at all. If the bride went 100% online, you would lose out on all kinds of opportunities to help one another. You would stop knowing what people needed help with. You would stop understanding what people were struggling with, what trials they were going through, and many of those things. You can't live stream help. You can't do online help many times. And sometimes we understand that online help is so much different than having somebody face-to-face. If someone comes to your house face-to-face to repair your house, they just go, what's the problem? They fix it. But then you get that online person on the phone, and you're an hour trying to explain what's going on. Okay, well, it's this part. Well, I'm not sure what this part's called. And you're online forever trying to get the help that you need. It's not the same. You know, you think about mentorship. And that's something that I value so highly with young kids. You know, you think of Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It talks about the older men and women teaching the younger men and women what they should do, how they should act, do things. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Mentorship. You know, I value that so much. There are so few misses, you know, this group so much. There's so much stuff that my kids, not only my kids, but myself and my wife, pick up from you. We see the way the older couples handle each other, how they treat each other. We see the way that they handle hardship when a spouse gets cancer, when a spouse gets this. The examples that when Christians come together and they assemble, you understand you have an obligation to be a mentor. And it's a mentor through example, but sometimes it's a mentor through talking and things like that. And I think that I would be so amiss without those Christian men and women at my home congregation that live that example, and I watch them throughout my life and said, wow, look at that. There's some examples that I remember so vividly. I remember Bob Keister. Bob Keister had cancer. He was a song leader. And he got to the point that he couldn't hardly walk. You know one example I remember of Bob Keister? He came to the assembly when he could barely walk. You know one place that they ended up carrying Bob Keister? They carried him up to the top to lead songs. He died just a few weeks later. It was important to him to be at services. That sticks with me. Those examples stick with you, and you have examples where you saw Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, do things. It encouraged you. It uplifted you. It helped you get to another day. Be a little stronger. Be a little braver. Be a little bit more courageous in your fight for Christ. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You know, think about that picture. Iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. You have to come in contact. And the best, most intimate contact we can come into is being face to face. We have to be very careful during these times. It's very hard, but I think these are subjects that we have to consider, and we have to think about, and we have to labor over and really think, where are the lines here? But I can tell you, if the church went 100% online, if the group of the saved said, hey, we're not going to meet ever again face-to-face, we're going to go 100% online because that's what we should do, wouldn't our relationship suffer? It would suffer immensely. Wouldn't our help and assistance to one another, wouldn't that suffer? I believe it would. And the third thing I'd like to think about this morning is that I think if the bride went 100% online, we would have a tendency to forget. Let's go back to that physical. I just married my wife. We are happy. We're excited. But then my wife tells me, I'm going 100% online.
He says, I'm going to leave you. We're going to live in this world where I'm over here and you're over here. I'm 100% on life.
Our relationship would start to suffer.
Not only would our relationship start to suffer, but the way I could help and assist her would start to suffer. I can't do things for her. She's way over here. And I think when that combination comes, where we can't help one another, where we can't assist one another, where we can't have an intimate relationship, where we can't get to know one another, you know what happens? You start to forget. You start to forget. If I had a bride, if I had a spouse that was over here, we didn't have a physical intimate relationship, and she couldn't help me and I couldn't help her, what would start to happen? I would start to forget. I would start to forget. You don't think you would forget? It happens on occasion. Those stories are not pretty. I don't even want to bring them up. But sometimes when relationships get in this fashion, you know what happens? It opens up the door to affairs. That's what it opens the door to. If I can't have a physical relationship with this person's not around me, this person can't help me, this person can't assist me, opens up the door. I start to forget over here, and I start to turn over here, and you start to have affairs. People are having spiritual affairs all over this country. They're having spiritual affairs all over this country. They're running away from God and trying to find all kinds of things. Why do you think online church is getting so popular? Well, I hate to tell you, before COVID-19, online church was going like this. All you have to do is look at the statistics. And I'm talking about 100% online, where churches are saying, hey, you don't ever need to meet. You're in West Virginia. I'm in California. We're just going to meet online. We're never going to see each other. You think that relationship's strong? You think not only is that relationship strong, but do you think that they can help each other? That they can really do the work of the church the way that they should, being so far separated? Is that really what God was after? I think online church has got so popular, which probably people don't want to say it, it's low cost. It's low cost, isn't it? Don't have to dress up, don't have to get the kids up, don't have to put them in the car seat. Man, put them in the car seat, that is a challenge, you know? I don't have to put them in the car seat, I don't have to get dressed, I don't have to go out. It's low cost religion, which is what our society has been doing for a long time. They've been telling us Christianity has no cost. Christianity has no trials. Christianity has no adversity. Christianity is easy, don't you know? Is Christianity easy? See, people don't like to talk about cost a lot of times. At my house, sometimes I try to get people to work on my house, and a lot of times cost is the absolute last thing that we talk about. They'll walk all through my house, point this way, everywhere, and the last thing we talk about is cost. People don't like to talk about cost. You know, there's cost to the Christian life. There was cost to Jesus getting this bride. He died for the bride. He purchased the church with his own blood. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. He purchased the church with his own blood. He purchased the group of the saved with his own blood. There's a cost to this group. It's a special group that you can be added to. And once you're added to that group, you do have to think about the cost to be part of the church, which is the bride of Christ. You know, our country struggles with faithfulness when it comes to marriage, and now it's leaked over into the religious world, right? You know, people struggle with marriage faithfulness. You know, the divorce rate went way up, and now the divorce rate's going down because people aren't even getting married anymore. The United States struggles with marriage. The United States struggles with commitment. And now it's leaked over into the religious world. Now we struggle with religious commitment. Commitment to God. Commitment to Jesus. We're part of the church. We're married to Christ. And we're like, we got no obligations or responsibilities. We're part of the church. We're married to Christ. We have obligations to Christ in our relationship and in help and assistance in the way which we live our lives. A lot of people are struggling with commitment. See, people in the religious world, they are very, very intrigued by the online bride. Because the online bride, hey, no relationship. I like that. You know, I don't want to get close to anybody anyway. So that's fine. I'm okay with that. I don't want to get close to anybody anyway. The online bride, no relationship. Hey, you know what? I don't need any help after all. You know, I don't need help. I can do it all by myself. I don't need any help. The online bride, no help. The online bride, no commitment. The online bride, less work, less time. You know, less work, less time if I'm online. Is that really what Christ is after? You know, the more I look at it, the more I consider it, we cannot be the church that God wants us to be we cannot be the Christians that God wants us to be if we went 100% online. And really, that shouldn't be a surprise. Because if we thought about a bride, we wouldn't have a problem with it. If we looked at this as a purely physical example, we would see a problem with it. What? The bride's over here, she's 100% online? Well, how are they developing their relationship? They're not. It's suffering. Well, how is she helping the spouse? Well, she's over here. And you know what happens? Is it starts to breed forgetfulness, and not only forgetfulness, it starts to breed affairs. How do you have a relationship without love and without knowing? You know, we have to live Christianity. We can't live stream Christianity. We have to live it. You start to think about the Bible tells us that if you love God, keep His commandments. In John chapter 14, verse 15. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, this is how I'm going to know that you know me, is if you keep my commandments. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. There's many people right now in our society that are going, the online church is great! Would you say that same thing about yourself? My online wife is great! My 100% online husband is great! Really? Is your relationship suffering? Is the help and assistance suffering? And slowly but surely, the forgetfulness happens. The argument this morning is that the online bride is not the ideal bride, and neither is the online church. And we have to keep that in mind. Perhaps you're subject to the New Testament call, the New Testament call of Jesus to become a New Testament Christian. He tells us that we're baptized, we hear, believe, repent, confess, and baptized, we can be added to the church. And then we're part of the bride of Christ. Will you do those things which you shouldn't? If you're subject, Lord's invitation, you need the prayers of the church. We ask the priest come as we stand and as we sing.